guy with the wins. Because whether they won championships or not, they would have won a ton of regular season games.
Sure.
And he would have been the star.
Yep.
He's still a star, but it became about the two. Here's what Kevin Durant changed. When Kevin Durant came, it went from Steph and Clay and Draymond to, you know, it was those three, right? And strength in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what it was.
I remember that, yeah.
It was those three and strength in numbers. When Kevin Durant came, it became two twos. It became Durant and Curry, the headliners.
Right.
Klay Thompson and Draymond, the next tier down. And then Iguodala and others.
Okay. And Livingston and whoever they plugged in at that time.
But it became Curry. It wasn't about... It was Curry and Durant. And a lot of times it was about Durant because Durant was such a polarizing player.
What do you make of Durant naming the five guys he's played with, the five best guys he's played with, and not having Steph on the list? What do you make of that?
I think it's harmless.
Do you think it's harmless, or do you think he's got a little... Do you think he's got...
But at the same time, he was asked Curry or Westbrook, and he said Curry. Who's the better player?
Right.
Like, he was asked specifically that question. He said Curry. Why? Because he's a better shooter.
Okay.
His
dream team of former teammates. Kyrie, Harden, Draymond, and Serge. That was his answer.
Wait, run that back for me again.
So Kevin Durant was asked to pick his perfect team out of all the players he's played with, including himself. So he chooses Kyrie, Harden, Draymond, Serge Ibaka, and then he's on the list.
So he picked Kyrie.
Yep.
He hasn't played with Kyrie.
Well, he's assuming that...
So there you go. See, I think that's semantics. I think he's taking up for the guy he's with now.
Okay. But you mean to tell me
it's a little weird, but it's nothing worth overanalyzing.
And remember, now he takes Draymond, and remember everyone said, well, the reason he's going to leave is because Draymond yelled at him in the Clipper game. And remember, KD was yelling, that's why I'm out here. Or no, that's why I'm out of here. That's why I'm out of here. And everyone said, no, he said, that's why I'm out here. Get me the ball. And everyone said, no, he said, that's why I'm out of here. So I'm leaving at the end of the year. Remember that scuttle?
I do remember that.
That was fantastic. And yet Draymond makes the list. Maybe KD respects the guy who got in his grill.
I think those two wound up fine.
Okay.
By the end of everything.
How about the other main guy of the two headliners?
Steph?
Yeah.
I think they're fine.
Okay. I just find that intriguing that you don't add that guy.
We've delved far too much probably into the psyche of Kevin Durant the last 3 years.
Yeah, you're right.
He was with the Warriors.
No need to revisit.
But, when he did make the comments about how he didn't feel like he was one of the other guys because he wasn't drafted here, I think there's some truth to that. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but why do we crush a guy for just saying what he's feeling or saying what he thinks? I'll say this. I'll give you my one overanalyzation.
Good. I love that.
Of it. I always got the impression that maybe he thought Steph got a little too much of the credit locally. And, you know, and that Steve Kerr got a little maybe too much of the credit.
Okay.
Like, and maybe the overall culture got the overall culture got a little too much of the credit.
I think,
as opposed to the talent.
Again, if I'm going to play armchair sports psychologist, I think he came from a place where he was a god, Oklahoma City, and he was. He was a god there, and he came to another place where there were other gods, and I think he didn't have...
And even guys who were lesser players than him were other gods.
Yeah, exactly. That there were gods here that weren't of his godly abilities, and then... He felt like, well, if they're gods, then I'm going to take God to a super level because of who I am. And he never got that. And I do think that there is a, if you were to ask Warrior fan right now, 888-957-9570, is Kevin Durant going to go down as a Warrior? I don't think he is going to go down as a Warrior. I don't think, I think Warrior fan even knows he was a rented player. He was never part of us. He was with us, but he wasn't part of us. I think that's what a Warrior fan would tell you.
I have a hard time going with that, though.
In what way? What makes it a hard...
I have a hard time rolling with that because he helped them win two championships.
Yeah, I
and
agree.
It's two championships that they may not have won without him.
And that's what he's saying. He's saying, wait a minute, I should have an otherworldly status here. And I think a lot of Warrior fans say, thank you for bringing us those titles, but we always knew it wasn't going to be a long... You know what you are? You're the hot girl who for some reason chose me for a short amount of time, and we rode together for the longest time, for as long as I could hope for, and then you finally got your wits about yourself and said, you know what, now I'm going to go on to the next best thing. That's what he was for the Warrior fan.
It's one way to look at it. I think the Warrior fan response to that would be, well, you'd be one of us if you had signed the five-year deal a year before you left.
Yep.
You win two championships, and then you re-up for 5 years, then it's not two, not three, not five, that's it, you know.
But I don't know. I think he will always be loved. I don't know if he's traveling with the Nets this year while he rehabs, but if he does and he walks through the tunnel in the Chase Center, I'm hoping the fans give him the standing O. I think that'll be a pretty exciting time. But I just don't know if he's in the gut the way these other guys are who won champ. You know what? KD, let me think of a good comparison.
Okay,
I'm going to think of a good comp, and you tell me. I'll give you one right now. Who's more of a Warrior? Thought of as more of a Warrior by a Warrior fan? Kevin Durant or Zaza Pachulia? No, Kevin Durant's by far the greatest player.
Kevin Durant.
I think fans love Zaza Pachulia more.
No, I'm not going to go that far. I thought you were going to say Iguodala or Livingston.
Okay, you can go
there. That might be a better.
You can go there.
That might be a better.
Iguodala is known as a Warrior.
Because Iguodala was part of all the part of all the championships.
Yeah.
Because I think there's Warriors fans. Well, Iguodala won 3.
Yep.
Durant won 2.
Livingston
won 3.
Livingston and Iguodala. That's why I was trying to come up with one a little bit more outrageous. But I think there are fans who would say, Zaza is us. Zaza is us.
I think that's a little extreme.
Okay. All right.
I think that's a little extreme. 925 with a great point that we'll get to on the other side. More of your phone calls. 888-957-9570. I actually agree with this text from the 925, but we'll get to it, and I strongly agree.
We'll get
to that and more of your calls coming up. Connor Letourneau at 1230. It's JD and Coz on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
How about them apples? Jim Cozumore.
That's outstanding.
Can we say that on the air?
No. You can.
No,
I'm
not going to either.
But the 415 had a particular take on Kevin Durant. And
I've heard that one before.
That's an interesting one, though.
Coz had the audacity to compare Kevin Durant to Zaza Pachulia.
Yep.
Somebody's probably right now tweeting Kevin Durant saying that you said that.
Yep. And then he'll... I don't damn care about no damn Coz Knight. That's what he's going to say. That's what he'll tweet out.
That was awesome. That actually was really funny.
I don't damn care about no damn Drake Knight.
That was really funny. And I think I've told you this before. I know some of our regular listeners have heard this, and I don't know if Bobby's got that. Bobby, if you could find the Kevin Durant drop, the one that I'm Kevin Durant, like that still cracks me up. In the press conference when he was talking about how he would, view going up against certain opponents, and I'm Kevin Durant.
I'm Kevin Durant.
You know who I am.
Exactly.
Like, and just the way that he looked the way he kind of looked at everybody, I was like, gee, okay. I hope I can ever be as good at anything in my life as Kevin Durant is at basketball, to where I could look at somebody else dead in the eye and say, I'm bleepity bleep.
Yeah, I know. It's just...
You know who I am.
I actually kind of liked Kevin Durant for doing that.
I loved that.
Yeah,
that might have been my favorite Kevin Durant moment as a Warrior.
And for some guys, I'd kind of go, what a D. But I actually think he enjoyed being he's kind of a cartoon villain.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's likable.
I think he's likable too, but I think he also is likable, but he likes bleeping with people.
He does. He does. I think he had had it. He kind of had it in his mind what he was going to do, so he was saying stuff. He was a little bit WWE, and he was a little bit Marvel superhero, but I kind of dug it.
Well, you want to get to some calls?
Who doesn't?
We'll get to some calls. The Chilt Montabody text line had a great take on Durant and Kyrie Irving,
mm-hmm.
and I'm searching for it, and I can't find it now.
Oh, come
again, because we had a bunch of
because way too many people are involved in the show
with their dirty hot Kevin Durant takes.
Thank you, by the way. We appreciate you going to the Chilton Autobody text line.
It was very simple. The 925 said KD and Kyrie might not be friends anymore after playing on the same team. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Why is that?
Well, I'm going to tell you coming up.
Okay.
But I don't want to make the people wait any longer, Coach.
All right. I'm on your side.
Joaquin is up first here. Joaquin, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Joaquin.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I want to kind of chime in on, whether we'll think of Durant as a warrior. You know, as a soldier, I figured this way. You fight the battle with me, and they battled it out. You know, that makes you one of us. You bring a victory, and that solidifies, you know, that you're one of us. You know, the question will be, will Durant consider himself a warrior looking back on his career? You know, that, I think, is truly the question.
That's interesting. Joaquin, let me just change your equation just a little bit. He did go and fight in the war with those guys, but was he one of the soldiers or was he one of the mercenaries? Because mercenaries are also engaged in war, and I don't think the soldiers always say to the mercenaries, hey, we're all, when it's all said and done, hey, we all fought the same battle.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think it'll come down to a matter of perspective based on the fact that, you know, and then I think what, though, that would throw one more log onto that fire is, you know, he blew out, he got that injury going out there when he kind of really didn't have to. And so I think in that regard, that's where I would consider him a warrior. Because at that point, I mean,
that's true.
Playing. Sure, he's getting paid, but, you know, he didn't shy away.
That's true.
You know, went out there, and so that's what solidified it for me. So that's my take. But thanks again, guys.
I agree. That last point that you made, Joaquin, is an awesome one.
No,
that's a great
point.
The guy stepped on the floor, risked his career and future to try and win a championship.
He gave up a year of his career.
He did.
And in his prime.
And the cynic will say, yeah, he got his paper. You know what?
Yeah.
The guy's already got paper.
He was going to get his paper regardless.
Exactly. He's already got that, and he's going to get more of it. These guys, here's the one thing if I could teach to anybody. Why do these guys keep doing it? They're different than you and me. If I had $50 million in the bank, you think I'd be showing up on Saturday at 8 in the morning
No.
to get ready for a 9 o'clock show?
No.
These guys are wired differently. Joe Lacob had $500 million. You know what he's got now? $1 billion.
Exactly.
He does it. What? Do you think he's buying more yachts? It's the competitive nature. It's the same thing with KD. It's the same thing with Steph. Hey, you got a contract that pays you $200 million. Why do you got to have a shoe and travel to China or Japan or wherever you're going to sell your shoe? You know why? They want to compete and have experiences on new levels that they wouldn't have been able to have. That's why these guys do it.
Joe in San Francisco, you're next on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, love the show. Durant always felt like to me that he had like 1 foot out the door, you know, but as far as like Zaza, Livingston, and Iguodala, I love those guys. You know, I mean, I always loved watching them play. You didn't really hear much complaining from those guys. They weren't like putting themselves out there in the news and stuff like that. And that's the only thing that I think Durant was a little bit different with. You know what I mean? He always was maybe attention seeking, needed to be out there, needed his name out there. The other guys just kind of soldiered along without too much pomp and circumstance about them.
Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah,
go
I
ahead,
appreciate
Coach.
It. And I do think that there is going to be the special place for the Livingstons. And I do think those guys have a different place. There's no question about it. But it's funny that we're still talking about Durant over here. And I think part of that is it's almost more refreshing to talk about Durant, because right now, for some people, the reality of what the current Warrior situation isn't as enticing to talk about, because it's a little bit more of an unknown, where Durant, we have already carved out our spaces. So it's maybe more fresh to talk about. It looks like you're looking something.
No, I was just looking at something.
Okay.
I don't give a damn about no damn Drake Knight.
I was trying to find.
That's one of my favorite.
That's one of your favorites, and then I found my favorite.
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
That is my all time favorite moment from Durant.
You were in that
his
scrum?
Whole career. I was.
Were you in that scrum?
And, but awesome. But it was the look on his face, like.
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
That's just awesome.
I, like, for one moment of my life, want to be that badass at anything, to where I can just look everybody in the eye and say,
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
It's just,
I do think that would be cool.
That is an ultimate dunk on somebody, grab junk, get on the scorer's table, and take a few swings.
I will say this about Durant. I was over at NBC, I was doing a show called Sports Talk Live. They made the deal where they got Kevin Durant through free agency, and then they had the big press conference, blowout press conference, and on Sports Talk Live, I had the chance to do the one-on-one with Durant.
Yeah.
And I still have a couple of pictures of him and I, and it's kind of funny. I look like a ventriloquist dummy to him, being the ventriloquist, because we're sitting in these tall bar stools.
Sure.
His feet are on the ground, and mine are dangling like I'm a puppet. You know, like. But as I did the interview, and it was about a 10-minute interview, there are few guys who are more thoughtful in their answers. And by that, I don't just mean kind, I mean thoughtful.
Right.
The question came, and remember, he was an open book at that time. He thought he was doing something that every person on the planet got a chance to do, and this is what it's going to be awesome.
Next question.
And it was going to be awesome, where I'm a free agent, I get to go where I want to go. And he made his decision, and for 36 hours he laid in bed because there was such a rush of emotion about what his decision was.
Yeah.
And it was a hatred in Oklahoma City. It was joy in other places. It was a thought of the rich getting richer in other places, and people didn't like that.
Yeah.
And so his answers were so thoughtful that it was one of my favorite interviews that I've done in my career. So that's how I think of Kevin Durant whenever he comes around, is that, gosh, he was such an interesting character, going through so much mentally and emotionally when he came here. And then in the end, who was he in the end?
It was Kevin Durant. I moved to another.
You know who I am.
I moved to another page because I was going to, as you were working your way through the interview, I was thinking of new ways I could mess around.
I'm done.
And it was, so I moved to a different page so I could.
Done.
That's what he said at the end of our interview. I thought we were going to have a decent little exchange.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I appreciate that. And he said,
grow up.
That's what he said. And then
I'm done.
Yep, that's it. That's how then he walked away. And then I got on a stepladder and got down off the bar stool.
Because that's where that's where you needed to be.
Exactly.
And then
down on the ground.
And then after that, he said,
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
Exactly.
That's exactly how the interview went.
Robert in Pittsburgh, before we get to Connor Letourneau on 95.7. Okay. I've been having fun with the buttons. It's been a while since I've played with the buttons.
All of a sudden, you're in the sock drawer and you got a little character thing going over there. Okay.
I got some puppets.
Yep, you got your puppets out.
What's up, Robert?
I looked at Kevin Durant and the Warriors. He was kind of a Warrior, but he's not, like, I would say that he was, but he wasn't a Warrior. The only reason I say why, I look at him as the Justice League, and he would kind of be the Batman of the Justice League. He wasn't really a part of them, but he would still help him out and do his part. And then once it was done, he left and went about to go about doing what he wanted to do.
That's interesting.
It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, it is. That is really, you know, that's a fresh take, Robert, and I appreciate that.
Not bad. We got Connor? Okay, we do. Yeah, we've got the great Connor Letourneau at ConCron on Twitter. Warriors this week, John Dickinson, Jim Cosimore. Connor, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, give us your biggest takeaway.
Give us your one game take right
from,
now
from the
playoff
Clippers
team or not?
Because we're throwing this around earlier, and like my big takeaway, there were two. It was, okay, the Warriors are not on the level of the Clippers. We know that. I think we thought we already knew that going into the game Thursday night. But the other takeaway was, can these guys just play somebody other than the Clippers and the Lakers, who look like they're two pretty bad matchups for this team?
Yeah, I think those are probably fair conclusions to draw. Obviously, everyone's quick to proclaim this a lost season and say the Warriors have no chance of making the playoffs, but the reality is it was just one game. It's a long season. A lot can happen. But honestly, I was not surprised by the outcome of the opener. Entering that game, I had told some people I expected them to lose by at least 20. I just didn't think they were ready for that type of stage against a team as formidable as the Clippers, even without Paul George. Anyone who was around training camp and preseason saw that they're still very much a work in progress, and these young guys still need to get used to NBA roles and playing meaningful minutes. So I guess the biggest concerns, obviously, were defensive. Although the Clippers are great offensively, the Warriors just looked like they had no idea what they were doing on that side of the ball. And then the other big concern is getting Steph some help, because, you know, we all know that the Warriors need him to play at an MVP level to make the playoffs this season. And, you know, he was facing such a tough defense, so much pressure from the Clippers. You wonder if other teams are going to try to replicate that. And when they do, can the Warriors figure out some sort of solution?
Connor, one of the themes around here today has been, well, for a lot of NBA teams, it takes a quarter of the season or 20 games to figure out who you are. If that's the case, can the Warriors afford to take 20 games to figure out who they are, or could that be enough time for them to lose that the opportunity to be a 7 or an 8 seed in the West?
I mean, it depends on how many losses figuring out who you are spells, right? I mean, does it mean they open 2-18? Yeah, I would say that they might have a tough time making the playoffs. But if they can go at least close to 500 in this early part of the schedule, which I think is doable because it's a relatively forgiving opening month or so of the season, I think that they have still have a solid chance of making the playoffs, even though I think it's going to be pretty deep in the West. The big thing is they need D'Angelo Russell to get comfortable with Steph Curry. They still look like they're operating two different offenses. They're at their best when they're not together, which isn't what you want. So if they can get D'Angelo to be in sync with Steph, that'll go a long way. And then in the process, you can just try to at least get better defensively. This is never going to be an elite defense, but they need to avoid the bottom 10 in defensive rating. That's going to be important.
What do you think the right mix is for those two when they're on the court together? Because I agree with you. It hasn't seemed to work. But I also couple that with, you know, a couple of times where Steve Kerr has said, you know, he thought some of the new players had you know, showed a level of basketball IQ. And I think he was talking more about Chris and Glenn Robinson, a basketball IQ to be able to run more of the same stuff that they'd ran in previous years than maybe he had originally thought. But is that maybe left D'Angelo Russell a little more high and dry? Because he isn't a straight shooter like Klay Thompson is. He's a scorer that can make shots, but he just does it in such a different way when he's his most effective.
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest issue is just kind of the pace of play. Obviously, D'Angelo Russell's a guy who is pretty slow and prodding. He needs to slow down the pace and kind of find his spots on the floor, and that's not where the Warriors are at their best. They're at their best when Steph has the ball in his hands, is moving, creating. They're ratcheting up the tempo. And it feels like a lot of these younger guys are getting on the same page as Steph in terms of being good at, you know, moving off the ball and setting screens and those things. But I don't think that D'Angelo is there at all right now. And I think the onus is going to be on D'Angelo to find out how he fits. And I think a lot of it is going to be he just needs to get comfortable being more of a spot-up shooter. He is a really good spot-up shooter, and I think he has the ability to excel in that role. He just needs to kind of acquiesce to not having the ball in his hands. And I think that Steve was trying in preseason and training camp to find sort of a middle ground where, hey, you know, we still want you to play to your strengths and be that pick-and-roll guy at times. And there still are moments where he can do that, but that can't be fundamental to his playing style anymore. It's just it's clear already that that's not going to work.
Connor, I know that the Warriors have been clear in saying that D'Angelo Russell is part of their future, but is this also part of the evaluation? You said like he's got to get comfortable being a spot-up shooter. He needs to have the ball a little bit more than is typical for a Warriors team. Is this are they in an evaluation process with him as they formulate what their future could look like?
I mean, every day is an evaluation process, right? I mean,
right, but they don't have to do that to the main pieces. Like, they don't have to evaluate. And I think they're trying to sell that D'Angelo is part of a main piece, but is it truly that they still need to figure it out with what they do and what his skills are?
For sure. They're going to give it at least a couple months before they start feeling like this is not going to work or this is, you know, a failed proposition. You know, this is a guy who is on a max deal for a reason, was an all-star last year with Brooklyn. Everyone knows why they made that complex sign and trade with Brooklyn. It was their only way of getting a 23-year-old all-star in the wake of Durant's departure. So they want to make this work. They're going to do everything they can to make this work. D'Angelo Russell seems eager to make it work. He's saying all the right things. He's grown up looking up to Steph Curry, so I don't think he wants to let down his idol. But, you know, we're talking a lot about offense here, and it's not just about offense. Defensively is going to be really important for D'Angelo, too. I mean, this is a guy who was downright awful in preseason defensively. Now, you don't want to put too much stock in preseason defense, but he had one of the worst defensive ratings in the entire NBA in the preseason, and he needs to at least be adequate defensively, especially when you're in a backcourt with Steph, who's never going to be an elite defender. There's just kind of a trickle-down effect there, and that, to me, is just as important as what he does offensively.
Connor Letourneau of The Chronicle, our guest here on Warriors This Week with John Dickinson and Jim Cosimore, 95.7 The Game. Connor, where are the Warriors at health-wise? I know they haven't had an availability as far as the media since the end of the game on Thursday night. They will later today in Oklahoma City at some point. But what's your feel on where Draymond Green is at and where Kevon Looney is at as far as just their availability for these next two games?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. Like you said, we haven't gotten a chance to talk to anyone. I think it bodes well that Draymond played through his injury. I think that's one of those injuries where you can't really necessarily make it worse. You just kind of have to deal with the pain. And so knowing how important Draymond is to this team being competitive and knowing who Draymond is, I would expect him to probably play tomorrow in Oklahoma City. And then Kevon, I don't know. I mean, I could see them maybe sitting him a little bit just because this was an issue throughout training camp, the hamstring, and then he tweaks it again in the opener. That doesn't exactly bode well. You know, they might, and he's obviously a really important piece for them, so they'll want to be careful with him. But the flip side of that is they could be welcoming back Alec Burks, who we haven't really talked a lot about, but I think could actually be really important for what the Warriors are doing. I had a couple people in the organization tell me that they think that until Klay comes back, that Alec Burks could be the third leading scorer. This is a guy who has proven that he can hit shots early in his career with Utah. Didn't get a ton of playing time last season in Sacramento, but he's still a pretty good shooter. Has looked good in workouts that I've seen. And he's as proven offensively as anyone they have outside of D'Angelo and Steph. So if they can get him back, that'll help a lot.
Hey, how different is this year covering this team? In the past, you know, October and November weren't exactly the spotlight months to watch the Warriors play, only because we kind of knew things were going to go into June. But is it a little bit more anticipatory and fun knowing that the Sunday afternoon game against Oklahoma City in October actually might mean something if they want to be a 7 or an 8 seed? Or the game going into New Orleans, even though Zion's not there, it's another game that kind of has to go to the Warriors' balance if they're going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, I'll be honest. You know, people would assume that covering a team that's not as good would be less fun, but I'm actually having even more fun this season just because every game matters now. Whereas the past couple years, you know, it's been a 6-month prelude to the games that actually matter. And now, you know, there's so many questions that have yet to be answered, rotations, young guys stepping up, how Steph and Draymond are going to handle leadership roles, that it's exciting for me as the beat writer, because all I really care about is just having good stories to tell and having things to write. And there's plenty to write right now, so I can't complain.
By the way, Rick Welts, there's your slogan, Every Game Matters. Get it on the T-shirts. Yeah, get it on the T-shirts. Throw it on every chair at Chase Center. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it's gone from the regular season doesn't mean anything to the regular season means everything. And there's a lot more basketball-related storylines, right, compared to the last couple of years, where it almost seemed like it was a lot of things from the outside. Maybe set features aside from that, but it was more about a lot of the noise and the temperament of the team as opposed to the actual basketball in the regular season.
Exactly, yeah. Last season was all about the Durant drama, and then when that wasn't going on, I was just spending a lot of my time finding off-the-court features because there was not a lot to say, X's and O's related. But I have a feeling that I'm going to be writing a lot more about what's going on the court this season because there's just so many pressing questions, you know. There were at least five things from that opener that I felt like I could write about after the game because they were important, you know, how Steph was defended, how the defensive breakdown, the emergence of Jacob Evans, you know, there was just a lot going on. So as someone who loves the sport of basketball, I'm excited about that.
Well, it'll be exciting. And another thing that's exciting is, like you said, Burks comes in. You got to see how they work him in and what happens. Willie Cauley-Stein comes in. Let's see how they work him in. This is going to be a many-layered, chaptered book that we're going to get for 82 games as opposed to the big chunks of, all right, we're waiting for us to finally get after the All-Star break when we can start paying attention to something. The mini storylines leading up to the greater story, Connor, I think are going to make, that should make it as fun, if not in a different way, more fun for the Warrior fan.
Yeah, and I think Warriors fans just kind of need to change their mentality a little bit. You know, I've heard people obviously complaining about the ticket prices and what have you, and I understand that. But I think that if you're a fan of basketball, this should still be fun for you because there's a lot going on. There's a lot to pay attention to. It's just not fun in the same way maybe you're used to.
Connor, great stuff, man. We really appreciate it. Be safe on the road, and we'll see you midweek.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Connor Letourneau of the Chronicle.
Yep.
Joining us here on 95.7, The Game.
I love hearing him. It almost sounds like he's rejuvenated. It sounds crazy. Oh, it's going to stink this year. They're not going to go to the finals. No, he's going to have more nights where something matters. It's going to be more interesting. There are going to be better storylines that unfold.
That's actually, I'm actually aligned with him in that thinking as somebody that's now hosting the pre and the post game show. It's, you know, it's more about the actual games.
Yep.
And the storylines and a little bit of the X's and O's. And the rotation and things like that that were overanalyzed the last few years, but we really didn't have genuine basketball conversations until it was April.
Nope, you're right. Question on the Chilton Autobody text line from the 925, when does Willie Cauley-Stein come back? They were going to recheck him at the end of the month, right? Start of November.
Exactly. So we're a week away from an update.
Yeah, so that...
So it's still... I think it could be within the first third of November, probably the back end.
Okay, that's fair.
If I had to guess, I would say around the 10th, probably the earliest. But that's again, that's speculation on my part. Educated speculation based on, you know, hearing things.
You know what? We were talking about watchable and unwatchables in the NBA.
Two things we have left: watchable, unwatchable, and I wanted to get into Kyrie and Durant.
Oh yeah, you
want to
do the Kyrie
next,
Durant
in
thing?
The next? Because
we're down
about
10,
we have
10
minutes. Yeah,
and you want to go back to that? Well, there are a couple of things on from the text line regarding Kyrie and KD, and they said that what
saying basically that they aren't going to be friends after they play together, and I kind of agree with that. I just think. To me, and it led more to my theory on why they got together.
Okay,
let's play together. This. That's more where I wanted to go with it, because I think you had two players that have been a couple of different places before in their careers, mm-hmm. right? You have Kyrie Irving who played with LeBron, won a championship with LeBron,
yep,
was done with the LeBron drama, right? and just wanted to get the heck out of there, wanted to have his own team, wanted to be the man.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
He wanted to get the heck out of there, be his own team, be the man, get away from the LeBron drama. So he gets the he does that. He goes to Boston. He finds out, you know what, maybe being a leader isn't, you know, that ain't for me.
Nope.
You know, I don't want to be that guy.
Nope.
So he, you know, kind of things didn't click for him there. But then you've got Durant, who, you know, couldn't get over the hump, comes to the Warriors, thinks that's going to fulfill him. So he goes a second place in his career.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't all that it's cracked up to be. And then he's thinking, well, wait a minute, I need a change. So I feel like you have two players that just haven't fully, they haven't just found fulfillment in the game in two wildly different situations. So I could see them kind of getting together, and when they're just talking about their careers to this point, they vibe off the fact that they both have just kind of been annoyed by the way things played out. Like, KD was sick of the Russ drama. Kyrie was sick of the LeBron drama in Cleveland. They both feel they're going to get fulfillment. Durant, by joining other great players, doesn't fulfill him. Kyrie, by going and leading his own unit, it doesn't fulfill him. And now they get together and they kind of bicker about, you know, Durant maybe saying, well, that Warriors culture, that's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
All that Warriors culture nonsense.
Yeah.
Heard about that. You know what? I'm Kevin Durant.
Yep.
We won two championships because
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
And you know what? They're talking about Curry and Kerr culture and strength in numbers.
Yep.
You know, so I could see him kind of venting about that. And then I could see Kyrie venting not only about LeBron, but venting about, oh, these young guys that think they're so damn good in Boston and one without me. You know, they should be figuring out how to play with me rather than me figuring out how to play with them. So I just could see them coming together and having some common grievances.
I get that. Of the two guys' grievances, KD's might be the closest to right, because it's easier to have that great culture when you're winning championships or you're winning 73 and losing in the finals.
And
you know what I mean?
They're both similar and different.
Yes.
They both won championships.
Yep.
Kyrie
won the title in Game 7 because they went to him and he hit the game.
But they both, in a way, won championships as twos. And I'm going to say,
ask my buddy KD about that.
Well, that. No, you're exactly right.
I'm Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You know who I am.
But here's the thing, and I think that's part of the pull with Durant. Kyrie won the championship, and you're right. They both share this.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie was the reason he hit. I mean, look, LeBron's LeBron.
But when they needed one, they went to Kyrie.
But Kyrie was he was a bigger part of that,
yes,
including the game-winning shot.
Yes.
In Game 7. But Kyrie was the two to LeBron's one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe didn't get the due that was worth all the drama in
right.
his mind.
Right.
Durant maybe didn't get the due with the Warriors that was worth all the drama in his mind. And Durant, even though in NBA circles, Durant's the better player than Curry.
Yep.
Have that conversation here.
Yeah.
It's Curry, and Durant was along for the ride.
If
you talk to people in the Bay Area. So I think they both share that. You know what? We both won championships for these made dudes that, you know, have their own thing going on, but we're the reason that those teams won.
I see your argument. I definitely see
your argument. So I could see them getting together over some drinks.
Yep. It's All-Star weekend. They're standing on the outside looking at LeBron and Curry getting all this international attention, and they're standing there talking off to the side. And then all of a sudden, look at those two guys. Everyone,
and it's a little bit of the misery loves company.
Yes.
So that's my theory. And
yes.
But I think I'm fascinated when the two actually get to play together, because I could definitely see them wind up not liking each other.
It would be, well, right now, the Nets aren't the Nets.
No.
They're not the fun, up-tempo, I'm going to root for you guys because you're the stinking Nets and you play hard and you made it to a playoff spot. That's not who they are right now.
And that's what the Celtics were when they didn't have Kyrie Irving, and that's what they weren't once they got him back. There's an even added layer to it, because you've got the Nets who aren't the Nets, and then you're going to drop Kevin Durant in the middle of that.
Yeah, I know.
Which just creates another dynamic.
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
But that's a dynamic for a year from now.
Are the Durants and the Irvings going to be smart enough to realize you've got these other guys busting their tail? That's why you got. That's why you were interested in them in the first place. You know, you're not supposed to go there. You're not supposed to go there and change that culture. It's like when people move to Idaho, they go, God, this is so beautiful over here. This is great. And then they get there and they go, oh, but you guys don't do this, which we used to do in California. So we're going to change all your rules over there. Idaho's like, no, that's why you like us. We're not you.
Exactly.
The Nets are looking at Kyrie saying, we're not you. Come in and play like us. We're going to win. So
we do some watchables and unwatchables here in the last three and a half, 4 minutes.
Let's do that. We can do teams. And I'm just looking at the week ahead at some of the games.
Yeah. For me, I mean, the Clippers and the Lakers are watchable.
Okay.
I love watching Denver. I love watching Utah. I love watching Portland.
Yep.
I agree.
I agree on all those.
I don't love watching San Antonio or Houston
much. I'm tired of those two teams. I'll watch, of the three Texas teams, I'll watch Dallas before I'll watch Houston before I'll watch San Antonio.
And I agree with you on that. I think the Warriors are a must watch just because you don't know who or what they are,
exactly.
How good they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time for the non-playoff teams in the Western Conference. I think the Pelicans, the Mavs.
Pelicans with or without Zion or both?
Are both.
You like them both? Watch both.
I think Sacramento is still watchable because that's a team that thought they had a lot of young talent that was ready to make a jump with some depth and be a playoff team. And
true.
And we're already seeing maybe they're not.
But that is a lot of residual from last year. A lot of this year's view is based on last year's hope.
And a lot of it's based on the fact, I'll give you a quick Kings hot take.
Okay.
Just a quick one.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of time for it to play out. I think you could make a case that they downgraded in the coaching department.
I can see your argument.
It's too early to
right.
to say that absolutely, but watching them through two games and, you know, like you said, they're a team that may be garnered the 20 games. Although, again, if they really want to be a playoff team, I don't think they've got 20 games to figure it out either.
You're right. That's a good point. If you use that argument for the Warriors, you have to use that argument for the Sacramento Kings. You have to use that argument for anyone who's in that 9-10 who hopes to be a 7-8.
And if the Warriors or the Rockets or somebody's going to fall out and one of those other teams are going to take their spot, Dallas, Pelicans, Sacramento, whoever, Minnesota, whoever you think it is, who's going to be the best of that group, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to find that team, Sacramento's off to the worst start of all those teams.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. Minnesota's a sleeper team now that I'll keep my eye on early in the year on my watch list.
Yeah, they're not on my watch list yet. They got more work to do to earn it.
And I'm a cheap date. You win two in a row early in the year when I thought you were going to stink on toast. I'm going to watch you, but you're easily removable.
Eastern Conference. More watchable teams for me. I think Boston and Philly are still watchable.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's watchable.
Yes.
I still think Toronto's watchable.
I like Toronto, actually. I like Toronto.
Indiana, to me, is watchable.
I think they are, too. And we had a text that said that Detroit, Cleveland, and Indiana, maybe Indiana, it said, was an unwatchable.
Detroit, Cleveland, Charlotte, unwatchable. Miami, borderline unwatchable. The Knicks, I think, are more watchable than those two teams.
Really?
Washington can take a hike. Atlanta moves up, and they're very much watchable. We talked a lot about them earlier.
Atlanta is my pick to click as the Nets Kings of this year. Much like I picked the Niners to be the Rams Bears of this year, I'm picking the Hawks to be the Nets Kings of this year.
And a good pick by you, by the way.
Thank you.
On that Niner pick.
Thank you very much. It is now.
Well, it is a good pick, unless they go 0-10 the rest of the way.
Exactly. You know what? They're going to be 8-2. Might finish 9-7.
Hey. Hater.
Why you gotta hate? Right? If I'd have told you at the start of the year, they'd be 9-7.
What a hater.
Feel good.
I want winners.
What a hater. For
that's
Jim
you,
Cosimore.
That's you, 43 wins.
I'm
hater.
John Dickinson. Tittle and Urban are coming up next. Big thanks to Bobby, who did double duty today. And
yeah,
thoughts
Bobby.
To our guy, Nash Solomon, as well.
Yes, thoughts to Nash.
Smoke him if you got him.